travel back in time to the 80s, reliving the advice.
Carpe diem. Seize the day.
The comebacks.
Why don't you take a picture? It'll last longer.
And the technology.
Are you telling me that you built a time machine? Out of a DeLorean?
Because just like you, we're stuck in the 80s.
Can you say stuck in the 80s?
Hey, welcome to Stuck in the 80s. It's your old pal, Spearsy.
And Brad in L.A. and New York.
And today it's time for another change-up show where we pick one year and give you some alternate hits to enjoy.
Okay, buddy. I was just trying to cheer us up, so go ahead. Put on some old sad bastard music, see if I care.
Steve, did you know? This episode of Stuck in the 80s is sponsored by The 80s Cruise. Join your Stuck in the 80s host along with MTV VJs Mark Goodman and Alan Hunter in spring 2025 for a week-long trip on board the Royal Caribbean Explorer of the Seas. Performers will include Squeeze, Adam Ant, Christopher Cross, Sheila E., Men at Work, Andy Bell of Erasure, Quiet Riot, Information Society, Curtis Blow, Honeymoon Suite, The Alarm, and more. Hey guys, we got our promo code, and it is going to be revealed in just a moment, but open booking is now underway. Is that a boat joke? I sure as hell hope so. Here's that promo code. It's, are you ready? You want to guess? Too bad, I'm going to tell you anyway. Stuck, S-T-U-C-K, you spell it, you get it, $200 cabin credit, woot woot. Just point your favorite browser to www.the80scruise.com for more information.
See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions.
It feels so weird to talk about 2025. I'm still not really used to 2024 yet.
It's a huge, scary number. It just is.
I mean, there's dystopian movies that took place 10 years ago.
Have you read the newspaper lately, Steve?
Yeah, we're living in it. It's funny, when they made the announcement of the lineup for 2025, we were both on the boat because they do it at 11 o'clock at night on the first night.
Yeah.
And I'm in there to watch Jesse's Girl, the tribute band.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rolling through the bands. And so I'm live Facebooking the lineup as they reveal it.
Yeah. I'm like madly typing it into a note on my phone as they pop up. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm writing this down.
Documenting history, man. I went back and I looked at that post again just the other day because I was just curious. You know, it's been, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks since we sailed. And I was reading all the comments, people saying, oh, you know, really surprised. Oh, I'm very happy that Adam Ant, you know, Christopher Cross is a surprise. And then there's one Nimrod who's like, Squeeze, one hit wonder. Sheila E., one hit wonder. Erasure, one hit wonder. And I'm like, are you out of your bleeping mind? And I started typing out this response. Like, first of all, you know, Squeeze has about 15 top 10 hits in the UK. Maybe about 4 of them charted here. But I mean, Sheila E. put on easily one of the most excellent shows I've ever seen.
Oh my gosh.
On
it was magical.
Cruise. Yeah. But I was typing it, and I'm like, I'm rage responding, and I'm like, I got to stop. Like, no good conversation takes place online anymore in these kind of forums. It's just...
You're not going to have any kind of measured discourse.
No.
Let's face it, folks. Unless you email me, and then you'll get very measured discourse.
Yeah. I think I hid the comment, but I mean, and thankfully nobody else reacted to it. Nobody else took the bait, but I'm so annoyed. But
step off.
I really got to just stop. You know, I post a lot of 80s stuff on social media, on our Twitter account, on Facebook, on Instagram, even on LinkedIn now. But I am going to stop reading the comments. I just got to. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah. I mean, look, haters going to hate. I know it's just such a trite thing to say, but it's true. You can't let that stuff get under your skin.
Got to
And
stop.
I have the same instant response as you. I'm like, what the f*** are you talking about?
How can it be bullshit to state a preference? Since when did this store become a fascist regime?
Okay, Brad, time to spin the wheel and see which year we're going to change up the hits for today.
You guys, this is so exciting. The wheel is all set up with years on it instead of names.
So
took some time to do this.
Gonna get a postal friendly bottle opener. Here we go. One, two. Oh, looks like it's gonna land on. Oh, magic. 1984.
1984, the apex, as far as I'm concerned, of the 80s.
I gotta tell you, it was a hell of a year, Steve. I was listening to, in the background while doing prep yesterday, I was listening to the like top 100 Billboard 100 year-end 1984 chart, and even I could find almost no reason to skip a song.
Yes.
Just, oh, it just hits me right in the... right in the happy place. It just makes me all happy and yay.
We're going to... So the point of these change-up series is not to diminish the songs that did finish the year high on the charts, but just to say, hey, you love these songs, try this song too. But let's think back to 84. So 84, we would have been end of our junior year, beginning of our senior year of high school.
Yep.
That was some pretty good times.
About as good as it got, let's face it. Because you're starting to get a little bit of freedom, but you have no serious adult responsibilities. I mean, you probably felt like you did. Like, oh, I have a job. I have to go do my job. But, not, you know, I wasn't paying rent. I wasn't buying groceries.
I was working as a bag boy at Publix, and I remember the thrill when I got my first check that was for $100. And I felt like I was the richest man on the planet.
Yeah. It took so little to move the needle then.
Nowadays, it takes pharmaceuticals.
yes, or distilled spirits.
That too.
So what was going on in 84 other than our shenanigans, Stephen Q. Spears?
Steve Jobs and Apple released the Macintosh computer, and you would get that epic commercial during the Super Bowl. How 1984 is not going to be like 1984 thanks to the Macintosh computer. And it did. It changed everything.
Yeah, we're going to hold that one off until like 2019 or 20 or so. speaking of commercials, Michael Jackson's hair caught on fire during the making of a Pepsi commercial, which, as I understand it, directly led to him taking a lot of painkillers, which, you know, directly led to other bad things happening.
Yeah, yeah, sad.
In addition to the bad things he was doing, if stories are to be believed, but...
Yeah. The Soviet Union boycotted the Summer Olympics in L.A. 1984. That was something else.
Yeah, that cost McDonald's about $10 bajillion in prizes.
Oh, man. McDonald's was everything back in 1984.
I worked at McDonald's that summer.
I did, too.
Kids, don't do it. Yeah. Don't do it.
If you were a kid today.
Pan change at the bus station before you do that.
No, but if you were a kid today, where would you work? Like, if your options are limited.
Wow. Okay, I'm a kid today. Am I basically the same type of person that I was the first time I was a kid? So I'm like kind of a techno geek kid.
You could be whatever you want to be, but you got to be realistic in terms of what kind of job you're going to get.
Okay, so I would be, like I'm trying to think if there's some kind of like contract IT support for small companies or something like that.
Oh my god. Talking about aiming high.
Like working for some company, just, you know, part-time in the afternoons, help desk, like, oh, have you tried rebooting? You know, that kind of stuff.
I just want to work for like a Planet Smoothie. That's it.
Oh, I don't want to work in food service. I didn't like it the first time around.
I'm going to assume that food service is the best job someone like of my means can get.
Well, and you're going to meet girls, and that's important. I wouldn't need any girls doing tech support.
So
it didn't really helping them with their math homework either, as much as I'd hoped for.
I'm the one who needs help with math homework. What else happened in 84?
Joe Kittinger becomes the first person to cross the Atlantic solo in a hot air balloon. I didn't know the wind blew that direction. That's crazy.
That's random. Here's another important moment. The BBC broadcasts a report telling the world about the famine in Ethiopia, which, of course, eventually leads to the Band-Aid song later that year and Live Aid in 1985. So we're talking, when I say that 1984 is the apex of the 80s, I'm not exaggerating.
We're dealing with a lot of shit here. and yes, I know candlesticks make a nice gift. Another thing here, here's another fun fact for you. Science fiction film The Terminator premieres. Your clothes, give them to me. It is James Cameron's third film. Jeez. And this blew me away. Can you name the first two? Deep cuts. These are deep cuts.
No, I mean, at first I thought The Abyss, but The Abyss comes after Terminator.
Yeah, yeah. Xenogenesis in 1978. What? Never heard of it. Thank you, Internet. And Piranha 2, The Spawning in 1982. Piranha 2.
How does somebody who makes those two movies get the green light to make the Terminator? I'm sure there's an answer to that question.
Yeah. I mean, was that a big budget film? I honestly don't know. I don't
Terminator?
Thinking back on it, probably not.
The last thing I found in my extensive research of what was happening 40 years ago, crack cocaine gets introduced into LA and soon spreads across America, giving us the crack epidemic. So
I moved to Los Angeles that year, and I swear that is a complete coincidence. As much as I enjoyed high school chemistry classes.
Remember, I'm schooled in chemistry. I was a hair analyst, briefly.
Let's talk about changing up the hits. This is always a tough thing to do. And when I was looking at the charts, I was trying to think about what songs kind of hit me personally back then. And I know I've told the story 1,000 times on the podcast. I won't tell it again. I did lip sync in 1985, it turns out, to this song by Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Okay, so that's Relax, obviously. And we all knew it because it was omnipresent at the time.
Oh, yeah, I don't think I'm tired of that song yet.
No, and it was from the album Welcome to the Pleasure Dome. The entire album is about sex, even though maybe at that time in my life, I didn't quite put two and two together.
Yeah. Oh, I thought that was about nuclear war. Okay, metaphor, dude.
So Welcome to the Pleasure Dome was released on October 29th, 1984. I don't think I really got into it until 85, because obviously, you know, I'm in Florida. I'm the last one to get that civilization reaches. But it had some big hits. It had Relax, Two Tribes. Those were both gigantic hits on MTV.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Everywhere.
Those two songs, along with another one, a ballad called The Power of Love. Not the Huey Lewis version.
Not to be confused with Huey Lewis, yes.
They all topped the charts in the UK. The title song, Welcome to the Pleasure Dome, peaks out at number 2. So we've got a monster album on our hands. Relax makes it to number 10 in the US. Two Tribes, Welcome to the Pleasure Dome, getting to the 40s. Power of Love, which I thought about considering for my deep cut from this album, doesn't chart at all in the US.
Yeah, I was going to say, people are not familiar with that song. When you talk about the song Power of Love, people assume you're talking about Back to the Future.
Yeah.
In this case, we are not.
No. Here's what really stands out to me, though. It was a double album, which at the time was just unheard of. You know, maybe in the 70s that would have happened.
For a debut?
For a debut album.
Crazy.
And here's even the weirder thing I just learned. It was a guaranteed gold record before it even went on sale, thanks to 1 million in advance sales.
Holy shit. Did they release singles ahead of the album?
Yeah.
They had to.
Yes.
There's no way you get that many advance sales on a brand new band unless, you know, Trevor Horn went and bought them himself, which he could have easily done at that point.
It was not unheard of. Trevor Horn, of course, is like a god to us. When he was on the cruise, I couldn't bring myself to talk to him.
Same. I was telling somebody that story. Like, the one person that I've been so like, oh, I can't talk to him. Like, that's Trevor Horn.
Yeah. Everybody else.
Ricky Wilde here, I'll name drop. Ricky Wilde tells me he's the nicest guy. I'm like, thanks, Ricky. Doesn't do me any good.
Rolling Stone magazine gave it 3.5 stars. Welcome to the Pledge Dome. And they wrote, quote, Frankie Goes to Hollywood was all about sex or power. Christmas ballad Power of Love was sex, as was the shot anthem Relax, which I can't believe they wrote.
Wow. I mean, that's actually a really apt description. It's a little dirty. But so is the song.
I don't know that we could do a whole podcast about that type of anthem.
Yeah, that's for Stuck in the 80s After Dark.
Yeah, Two Tribes was sex that was about power. Rolling Stone went on to say, according to legend, producer Trevor Horn was the most important Frankie musician. His and Holly Johnson's idea of releasing a debut as a double LP was megalomaniacal.
Yeah, get on board with that.
Yeah. And not just for a decade in which albums were rarely released. Maybe they both knew that there wouldn't be much energy left after Pleasure Dome. Everything had to go.
So they weren't going to be ready for round 2 anytime soon. Is that what you're suggesting?
I'll talk about round two in a second.
Certain little blue pharmaceuticals were not available.
Anyway, here's my favorite of the forgotten songs. This song is called Wish the Lads Were Here. Bouncy, fun, pop. I love every song on this album. There's a cover of a Bruce Springsteen song, Born to Run. There's a cover of Do They Know the Way to San Jose?
Do you know the way to San Jose? I've been away so long. I may go wrong and lose my way.
And if you really do want more Frankie Goes to Hollywood, and I suggest that you do, they did release a second album before they broke up. It was called Liverpool. And if you can find it, find the dance mix, the 12-inch, for the song called Rage Hard.
It's a great song, actually. I love that song.
It's a great one, and it is probably yet another admittedly shot anthem.
So let's take a small cul-de-sac tour here, just because we're talking about Frankie Goes to Hollywood, who I don't want to say one and done, but their first album is an enormous success, right? And they've never really got really close to that level of success going forward. And I know we don't like to work negative, and maybe that's a little negative, but are there bands, other bands like that, that like came out of the gate right to the top, like top 10 singles in their first album, and then just kind of never reached that promise again? Like,
sure,
that's another show somewhere.
It's another show. And yeah, if you have
I don't
want to
get into it all right now.
Yeah. No, but if you have suggestions, email us, because I think that's a great show.
That's a fun, I mean, again, what we would want to do is not celebrate that they didn't get back, but celebrate when they were there.
Sure.
Because that's who we are here at Stuck in the 80s. We like the 80s. That's why we talk about it all the time. Ask anybody at my office.
For 699 episodes. Brad, what's your first song?
Okay. This is a band that I've been kind of on the outs with these guys, Steve, and I'm ready to get back together again, but let's listen to it first. This is, I don't even have to introduce it. I'm just going to play it. That's Bananarama and Cruel Summer, in case you're new to the show. Look, was it 2022? I don't even remember what year it was. Bananarama was supposedly booked on the cruise.
Yes.
And I don't think this is like top secret information, but then they got new management and their management was like, oh, we don't actually have, there's no contract in place. And look, I didn't see the paperwork, but I've worked enough with the ECP people to believe that they aren't announcing people that they don't have stuff papered for.
Right.
So that pissed me off. Like, if you want to drop out, drop out. But don't be like, oh, we don't have any agreement. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh. So I kind of took them out of rotation. But I'm ready to kiss and make up, girls. Karen, Sarah, call me. We'll hash this out. We can be friends again.
You saw them in concert, right? Didn't you?
I did,
see
and
them?
They were amazing. And I hated myself for that for a while. But I'm done hating myself, Steve. So Bananarama, this is Bananarama's second album after 1983's Deep Sea Skiving. Of course, at the time I didn't know what skiving meant, but now I do, thanks to Harry Potter. The second album saw the return of producer Steve Jolly and Tony Swain, also known as Jolly and Swain, who had been dismissed halfway through the skiving sessions because the women felt like they weren't taking them seriously or incorporating any of their ideas. Like, they were treating them like, oh, you're just some girl group. Sing it the way we tell you to sing it. Here's your song. And that was not really working for them, so they gave them the boot. But they're back, and they continue to work with them through their career. Jolly and Swain also produced some other notable 80s artists you might have heard of, including Spandau Ballet's first two albums. and the title track from one of our favorite soundtracks to Live and Die in L.A.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, right? But back to the matter at hand. Cruel Summer. Enough with Cruel Summer. I love this song. It is very evocative. There is a small part of me that when it comes on, I have deep associations with moving to Los Angeles that summer, just like Daniel LaRusso did, me without the BMX bike, and also without people beating the shit out of me. But I don't need to hear this song again. Man, you know, I could probably do without it for a couple years. Let's try something else on for size here. That, my friend, is Wildlife, which was written for the not quite a sequel to Fast Times, but kind of considered a sequel to Fast Times,
sure,
movie of the same name.
Yeah.
So by the time this single was recorded, the album had already been out for a while, but the label like slapped it on the album and re-released it and dropped it as a single. It didn't go very far. I vaguely remember it. It didn't. It made it to like number 70 on the U.S. singles chart. It probably got some play on K-Rock because that's the kind of stuff K-Rock would have played back at that time. But I couldn't remember the last time I heard it, unlike the aforementioned Cruel Summer.
I like it.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a movie soundtrack song. It tells us a little story about a rebel who's going to burn their bridges and make their own rules. You know, it's almost like a steakhouse commercial for Outback. But, you know, don't bore us. Get to the chorus, because that's where this song just floats up, and this gauzy vocals and the layering, just everything you expect from Bananarama, who is, I'm going to say it, my all-time favorite female pop trio.
Ooh.
I don't know that there are a lot of other options.
Yeah, but, I'm trying to think. I mean, if you open it up
Supremes.
to all bands, if you open up to any all-girl band, they'd still be pretty...
They'd be pretty high up. I mean, I like the Bangles probably a little bit more than the Go-Go's, but it's pretty tight.
Yeah. No, that's good. Did they play Wildlife when you saw them live?
No, I don't think so. I'd have to go back and check the set list, but I don't think so. Yeah. I was just soaking in the pop deliciousness of it all.
You know, it's funny when they bailed on the cruise. After I did that earlier rant in this show about how I, you know, got to ignore social media, got to just resist the urge, I was... every time they would post something, the Bananarama official account, I would make some crack about, it's too bad you guys bailed on the cruise. And then they would always respond to me like, no, sir, we did not bail. There was never a contract. And they would do the same spiel every time. And I would write back, oh, yeah, yeah, whatever you say. You know, we all know
whatever helps you sleep at night.
But I did that for a couple of months. And then I realized I was being the very thing I despise.
You become what you beheld, as they
say.
Yes,
so I stopped. Here we go. This guy will cheer everybody up. Here's Billy Ocean and the song he was best known for in 1984. Caribbean Queen is from the fifth album by Billy Ocean. It was released on September 12th, 1984. It was his biggest success to date. It was his first major hit. If you want to find his previous biggest hit, I mean, his career is very unusual in the sense that his previous hit from 1976, a song called Love Really Hurts Without You, which only got to number 22 on the charts. So that one doesn't ring a bell, and it probably should. I feel bad about that. The album had two other top five songs, Lover Boy, and of course the title song, the ballad, Suddenly. There was another song that you might remember, Mystery Lady. It got into the top 40 as well. It's funny.
Where's Get Out of My Dreams, Get Into My Car? Hey, you. Get into my car.
I just saw him live. Epcot in Walt Disney World.
Oh, like Food and Wine?
Yeah, Food and Wine Festival, and they also have a Spring Flower and Garden Festival.
Oh, okay.
And during that period of time, like almost every day, they have a special guest band that plays a free show at the American Pavilion. And it's usually about a 45-minute set. You know, you're playing, what, six songs maybe?
Sure, yeah. And then, come out, play your hits, sure. Gab a little. Hey, and everyone, enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, and then they do it like they repeat like two or three times a night, and then, you know, nice paycheck, I'm sure. So we saw him. Of course, he does Caribbean Queen. I think he did Suddenly, and then I don't think we got When the Going Get Tough. I don't think we got
really.
That one. He did a couple newer songs, which we were like, okay, that's different.
I mean, but look, we saw him on the cruise, and that completely turned me around on Billy.
Oh, he's so fantastic.
Like,
great performance.
Take it or leave it, whatever. And he comes out, he's just like, look, the charisma is just coming off of him in waves. You can't not like this man when he's on stage.
He's never stops smiling.
Just a performer, and he's giving you the vibe. And if you're not picking it up, then shame on you.
Yeah. Brad, quick question. Billy Ocean, true or false, that's his real name?
Oh, there's no way that's his real name.
No, he was born Leslie Sebastian Charles back in...
I can't imagine why he changed it unless he's a member of British royalty.
Yeah. He was born in 1950 in Trinidad, Tobago.
He's a male Leslie, just like on Ted Lasso.
Yes. 74 years old now. How did he get the name Billy Ocean? It's derived from a local soccer team who called themselves Ocean's 11. So I don't know how you make the jump from Ocean's 11 to Billy Ocean, but there it is.
When we start talking about Trinidad and Tobago and soccer, I get kind of twitchy, and U.S. men's national team fans know exactly why. We'll just leave it at that.
I really don't believe this.
What?
This frigging game is wrecking my life.
Okay, so a deep cut from this album. Now, this was kind of tough because it's got the hits, and then the other songs just don't resonate with me until we get to this very unlikely cover.
Oh, the long and winding road that leads to your door. We'll never disappear. I've seen that road before. It always leads me here. Lead me to your door.
Yes, of course, that's the long and winding road. And obviously, we all know it from the Beatles, the Let It Be album in 1970. It seems such an odd pick to cover. You think, why would anybody want to cover a Beatles song that's so associated with that band? Turns out everybody has covered this song.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Ray Charles did it in 1971. Aretha Franklin did it in 72. Cilla Black did it in 73. Leo Sayer, Peter Frampton, George Michael, they've all covered this song. In 1985, Billy Ocean's version peaked at number 24, not on the Hot 100 chart, but on the Adult Contemporary chart.
I mean, when you think about the song for a second, it is kind of ripe for a version. It's an emotional song. It's something that would resonate with a lot of people. It's a beautiful song.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to take all the heavy production out of it, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your final album of 84?
Oh, I'm a little sad, but I'm going to try and bring the mood back with a little of two of our favorite letters, R and B, with This Baby.
Grab your coat and wave goodbye to your friends. I want to take you where the night never ends. I feel the need to sweep you off of your feet. You and me, we should be dancing in the sheets.
Yeah, that's Dancing in the Sheets from Shalimar from their Heartbreak album. And damn, son, I can listen to this song on repeat for hours. And yes, I do have to give the little clap clap or the beep beep at that point in the song. Because the song, if you remember, appears in the, ooh, Ariel has a bootleg cassette that she smuggled into town, like what, in a courier package or something? Give me a break. at the burger joint in Beaumont, whatever the heck the name of the town is, in
Texas.
Footloose.
Yeah, it's Beaumont. Yeah, it's Beaumont.
It's a great little catchy scene. Everyone's kind of grooving to it until Daddy shows up and turns off the boombox. Let me just say that is the world's loudest boombox because the guy cooking in the kitchen can hear the song.
Footloose.
OSHA has some things to say about the noise levels. God, but it's a banger. Sorry, banger. But it gets played a lot. It's one of Shalimar's probably most popular or most played songs, I should say. So Heartbreak, the album, was released in November 1984. This is Shalimar's first album after Jody Watley and Jeffrey Daniel left the band, two of the first original three singers. It has a couple Grammy-nominated tracks on it. Dancing in the Sheets got a nod for Best R&B Performance by a Duo or Group with Vocal. Let's make that category name really long. And because they had Don't Get Stopped in Beverly Hills on the Beverly Hills Cop soundtrack, they got a nod for Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media. Which they actually won. That won the Grammy. So they got a Grammy for that. Good for them. And it's certified gold. It's not a million, but 500,000 copies sold. I did not realize this. Shalimar was originally a studio musician band. In 1978, they had a hit. And the concert promoter, Dick Griffey, who had kind of created this group out of nothing, needed some visual presence for it. And so he called up his boy, Don Cornelius, of
Soul Train.
Thank you, my friend. And had the show's dancers become Shalimar. Watley, Jeffrey Daniel, and Howard Hewitt, who's the one guy who stayed for this album, became Shalimar. Yeah. So enough history, enough songs. Let's listen to another track from this album, shall we, Stephen? I forget what this call is called. Oh, that's right. It's Amnesia. This is a brand new feeling, a strange sensation. I just seem to lose my head over you, baby. Amnesia, I can't remember what to say. What made me go and lose my head? Please understand the things I did. Oh, amnesia, the way your face led to me. All the pressure, baby, the ecstasy.
Love this song.
This is the second single from the album. It didn't seem to catch a lot of bounce. Like sometimes you have a big first single, the next one's gonna kind of pull up a little bit higher. It only made it to 73 on the US singles chart, so it's entirely possible, gentle listener, that you've never heard this song before, and that's unfortunate because I'm not quite ready to certify it a banger, but it's at least a banger adjacent.
I'm gonna blame the name. Okay. Nobody wants to say, I love Amnesia.
That's a fair point. Look, it's hot. This is a high energy piece of kind of almost, it's almost tropey 80s R&B. I've read some comments on this, like, oh, it just sounds like Prince. It sounds like this. It sounds like that. It's just a style copy. Yeah, maybe it's a style copy, but you know what? The reason it's a style copy is because those are good styles. It's okay. It's all right to enjoy this for what it is. It might be a little fast to dance to, although I'll put a call into my boy retro DJ Travis Bell to check that one out. But it's just a cruiser. Like, put it on, just cast your mind. You're drumming on the steering wheel while you're dragging Maine with your boys in your mom's giant 70s car, drinking a 4,000-ounce cherry limeade and debating the various charms and shortcomings of members of the dating pool in your local area.
Seems oddly specific. I mean,
but you can picture it. You can picture it. You listen to this song and you're like, oh yeah, take me back, baby. Take me back. I want to be there. Never thought I'd get that enthusiastic about a Shalimar song that isn't called Dancing in the Sheets, but
I'm still hung up on the whole cherry limeade.
Sounds good, doesn't it?
I had one not too long ago, because I mean, you grew up in Sonic land. Oklahoma is...
Sonic is headquartered in Oklahoma, so every tiny town, no matter how tiny, had a Sonic.
There's not one. I can't even imagine where there is one near me right now. It would be on the other side of town at best case scenario. Yeah. And Once upon a time, I did actually, I've never been to a Sonic, but I got it sent to me via Uber Eats one time. And I did get the cherry limeade. And the amount of sugar that must be in that drink is incredible. I mean, I was crawling. I was dancing on the ceiling.
You're like, let's clean the place.
It was tasty, but man, it was the 16-year-old version of me would have loved it. I know the
right.
The,
oh yeah, no drink
the
of choice.
56-year-old diabetic version of me, not so much. But you know what? Both the 56 and the 16-year-old would agree on
the Seggies.
Prepare to qualify.
Hey, it's time to play Stuck in the Arcade. We will play a snippet of a arcade game, obviously, from the 80s. If you get it right, you're entered into the drawing for the postal-friendly bottle opener. We all caught up? I always have to ask. No, you wouldn't be, because you're not in New York. That's right. How much longer?
Sorry,
kids. How much longer are you there?
I don't even want to talk
about it. It's going to be a while, isn't it?
Yeah. What's the thing from Star Trek 2? If days were like hours, this would seem like eons.
God, I love Star Trek 2. Okay, from show 693, here's the mystery clip. That's Moon Patrol. We had some winners this week. Some people knew it.
We did indeed. Winners this week include Dave Delazert, Fetch in Evansville, Larry in Maryland, Dave C. in KC. Ooh, that's nice. I like that. Mike Z. from Maryland, Retro DJ Travis Bell, Ed from West Seattle, Brock in North Dakota, Jeremy Hoochot, JR Radwan, the Tromboner, and Doug in Ottawa, Illinois. Not Canada. I'm sure he loves Canada. He's just clarifying for postal reasons.
Because, I mean, if he's in Canada, we're not sending him anything.
Pretty much, yeah. Sorry, guys.
It's a real pain in the butt.
It's expensive.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway, let's spin the wheel, find out who gets the postal friendly.
Here we go. Spinneroonie. 1, 2, second spin of the day.
Looks like it's going to land on, Doug in Ottawa, Illinois, not Canada. You better not be messing with us, though.
Yeah, I'll see you at the border.
Let's get the actual street address before we celebrate this one. Oh, you know, it's funny because I think was the last episode that we did, we mentioned, was it Brent, the chemistry teacher, was one of the...
We did indeed.
And I went on that rant about how I could never understand chemistry and stuff. And Brent emailed me, and we had a nice back and forth about chemistry and whatnot. It was fun. And I think I also made some comment about John Ross and Charlotte, North Carolina, being that I always confuse him with John Ross, who did IT, my last company. And I just jokingly said, send me a photo so I know it's not the same person. He sent me a photo.
So I have something to photo. There you go.
It's like, hey, when I say these things, man, when people email us, we read them, every single one.
Yeah, and John, thank you for not sending nudes.
Okay, pay attention. Here's this week's Mystery Arcade sound. If you know it, email us at podcast@sit80s.com. Tune in soon, probably about a month, maybe, depending on how we're doing things. Find out if you're a winner. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
Now you can compete in the Olympics, too. Play McDonald's. When the U.S. wins, you win Olympic Games and win up to $10,000 instantly. Or keep your cards, and when the U.S. wins your event, you win a Big Mac, regular fries, or a Coca-Cola. So go to McDonald's and get your game cards today, because when the U.S. wins, you win.
Right here, Dad!
Dad, why? I thought it's at work. So did I.
And we're back. And we'd be remiss if we didn't take time out to say some words about the recent passing of Eric Carmen. The singer-songwriter passed away at the age of 74. No cause of death has been revealed yet. Some people remember him for leading the 70s pop group The Raspberries with hits like I Want to Be With You and Go All the Way. When that band broke up in 1975, Eric composed and recorded the song All By Myself, which became an even bigger hit for Celine Dion. In the 80s, Eric Carmen gave us Hungry Eyes for the Dirty Dancing soundtrack. I didn't know this. He was the co-writer on the Footloose anthem Almost Paradise.
Really? Wow. That's insane. Those are big hits, boys and girls, in case you weren't sure.
If you ask me, though, his real masterpiece was a song called Make Me Lose Control, which got up to number 3 on the charts in 1988. The song was released as a single, rare for those days, and to this day, it doesn't appear on any studio album other than the Greatest Hits records. The video, Brad loves the videos, it was memorable too, with an homage to the movie American Graffiti. In all, 13 of Carmen's songs had a place on the chart. So many artists took time to acknowledge Eric's passing, but few were as heartfelt as the reaction from Rick Springfield. On social media, Rick wrote, "This is almost more than I can stand. I have always been a huge Eric fan. Why do we have to wait until we pass before we acknowledge what they meant to us? Just a brilliant musician that lesser artists have surpassed in fame, but not in talent. May God speed your spirit home, sweet Eric." Turn up the radio for that sweet sound, fans, and stick around, because Brad and I remain here, hopelessly stuck in the 80s.
Turn the radio up for that sweet sound. Hold me close, never let me go. Keep this feeling alive. Make me lose control.